My mom is a twin. She has a twin brother. Her name is Bernice, and his name is Bernard. Bernice and Bernard. Yeah, it's all good. But it's interesting, if you're a twin or if you have twins in your family, those stories are always, I mean, kind of weird how, like, twins will, like, do the same thing at the same time, and kind of their life will track the same way, even if they don't even talk to each other about it. I got a pair of twins I want to introduce you to. This is Lorraine and Lavinia Christmas. Their last name is Christmas. Lorraine and Lavinia Christmas. They're about my age. But several years ago in 1994, when they were both 31, Lorraine Christmas had, on the spur of the moment, had this urge to take the Christmas present to her twin sister, Lavinia Christmas, on Christmas Eve. So she got in her car and was heading to her home. At the same time, didn't know it, spur of the moment, Lavinia Christmas had this urge to take on Christmas Eve her Christmas present to her twin sister, Lorraine Christmas. So you've got Lorraine Christmas on Christmas Eve taking her Christmas present to her twin sister, Lavinia Christmas. And you've got Lavinia Christmas on the spur of the moment on Christmas Eve taking her Christmas present to her twin sister, Lorraine Christmas. And they met each other en route in Fletcham, England on an icy road. They had a head-on collision with each other. With each other. So Lorraine Christmas and her twin sister, Lavinia Christmas, who were taking Christmas presents to each other on Christmas Eve, both spent Christmas Day in a nearby hospital recovering from their injuries. I do not know their dad's name, but just a side note, Mr. Christmas was in the same hospital after recovering from a surgery. Now that is what I call a Christmas collision, okay, in a lot of different ways. You can't make that stuff up. I've lost a third of you who are Googling right now, Christmas, Lorraine. Wait till after you can verify the story yourself, okay? That's a Christmas collision. I sure hope that Christmas is not a collision for you and your family this year. You know, sometimes Christmas, we don't want it to, but it can seem like a head-on crash. It can be a collision because we are just so incredibly busy. Some of you kind of went back and forth if you were even going to come today because your schedule is just so jam-packed. It can be a collision because financial pressures, and they seem to be more glaring this time of the year if our family is struggling in our finances. Maybe there's been a job loss or those sort of things. It can be a family struggle, can be a collision. There's just tension in your family and in your home and with loved ones. And really, Christmas can be a major crash if you're grieving someone this year. There's someone this Christmas, for the first time in your life, they're not going to be here. It can really be a collision. That's why it's good to have a service like this, to just stop, take a really deep breath, and remember what this is really all about. You see, Christmas can be a collision. It really can, but that's not what God intended. Christmas is greater than our life collisions because it's about our Lord's compassion. Christmas is about the person of Jesus, and it's about his compassion. It's about his compassion for you and for those of us who know Christ as our Savior. It's about us sharing and showing that compassion to others. See this big word back here, compassion. Well, this is week number 10. For the last 10 weeks in our church, we've been talking about the issue of compassion. And this message, the 10th message, is wrapping up this series on compassion. We've been studying the compassion that Jesus showed to people in his life, the compassion he had for the hurting, the compassion he had for the hungry, the compassion he had for those with physical disabilities, the compassion he had for people that were grieving over the death of a loved one, the compassion he had for the sick, and most of all, the compassion he had for sheep without a shepherd, over those spiritually who don't know God, don't have a relationship with God. And we're wrapping all that up today with Christmas, because Christmas is all about our Lord and his compassion towards us. I'm looking at the Christmas story as it's found in Matthew chapter 1. And it says this in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, in Matthew 1, verse 19, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus. Real quickly, three things about Christmas compassion. Number one, Christmas compassion God sees. If this Christmas feels like a collision to you, understand the fact that God sees, that God knows. We just read in Matthew chapter 1, we just read verse 21. It says, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people. And it says this, from their sins. And I know that word sins is not a real popular topic on Christmas Eve, gathering with our family for a candlelight service. But that word sins is necessary to really understand what Christmas is all about. That word sin simply means to miss the mark, to fall short. Well, what is the mark that we miss? Well, the mark is God's perfection. If I think about my words, if I think about my thoughts, if I think about my attitudes, and if I think about my actions, all of those in my life, I fall short of the mark of God's perfect person and God's perfect plan. That's why it says in Romans 3:23 that all this same word have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Isaiah 59:1-2 teaches us that our sins separate us from God. Hear me, God did not separate himself from you, and God did not separate himself from me. We separated ourselves from him in our sins. You see, the greatest crash, the greatest collision wasn't between the two Christmas sisters in 1994. The greatest crash and collision ever is the reason we have Christmas in the first place. You've got to go way back, all the way back to the beginning. You've got to go to a garden, a perfect garden. And you've got to go to Adam and Eve, who made a willful decision to do their own thing, to disobey God, to go their own way, do their own thing. And because of that, sin entered the human race. And we now live on a fallen planet. That's why there's disease. It's why there's death. It's why there's all the disasters and hate and crime and everything that happens. We live on a fallen world. And you and I cannot be good enough, and you and I can't do enough good in our lives to bridge that separation between us and God. Only Jesus can do that. See, God sees. God looked at us, and he knew our condition. He knew it all started with Adam and Eve, and as the parents of humanity, it's all of us. All of us have missed the mark. God's perfect person, God's perfect plan, we all fall short of that. Religion can't get us there. Christmas, therefore, is necessary. We need a Savior to rescue us from our sin. So God sees. The second thing is God cares. Christmas compassion, God cares. Not only does God see, but God cares about us. Christmas is proof of that. We just read in verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. See, the definition of compassion in the Bible, it means what if I were you? It means to literally put yourself in someone else's skin. What if I were you? What if I were in your skin? Sympathy is to have emotions towards someone, but sympathy is not biblical compassion. Biblical compassion means not only do I feel sorry for this person, but I want to try to do everything I can do to fix the problem in their life. So compassion means to put yourself in someone else's skin. Man, that's exactly Emmanuel, God with us. At Christmas, I don't know how else to say it except this simple, God became a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. That's Christmas. Let us soak in. God became a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. Christmas is all about God's love. It's about God's compassion. Christmas is a celebration of God's compassion for us. Christmas is proof that God cares. Jesus coming to earth at Christmas began his mission to suffer and die on the cross for all of our sin, for my sin, for your sin. That's why we have the greatest Christmas verse of all, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God sees, God cares, and finally at Christmas, Christmas compassion, God acts. You see, compassion has to have action. If it doesn't have action, it's not compassion. And we see that at Christmas, God sees, God cares, and God acts. We read verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. The name Jesus means God saves, and he will save his people from their sins. That word save means to rescue, to deliver. Think if someone was drowning. Think if someone was in an accident. Think if someone was trapped in a fire, and you were their rescuer. Good thoughts, even prayers, okay, isn't going to solve that situation if you're standing right there. No, you have to act. You have to pull the drowning person out of the water. Rescue always requires action. And the very name of Jesus that is that God saves, that Jesus saves, that he is the rescuer. He is the deliverer. I love Luke 19:10. It says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's the action of God at Christmas. It says, the Son of Man. There's just another way of saying Jesus the Savior. Jesus the Savior, it says, the Son of Man came. That's Christmas. He came, born in a manger, to seek. It's not you and I seeking God. God is seeking you. That's compassion. He sees, he cares. To seek and to save, that same word, the cross, to rescue those who are lost. That's the story. It all began, prophecy fulfilled, going back to the garden, our fall. And God loves you and loves me so much that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus was born at Christmas. He lived a sinless life. Then he sacrificed himself on the cross as my substitute and your substitute, paid the price for all of our sins. And only Jesus on the cross satisfies the wrath of God. And now salvation is secure, forgiveness is secure, heaven is secure for anyone who will come to Jesus and call upon his name. You can know his rescue. You can become a follower of his. You can have your life changed. Everything in your past can totally be forgiven. You can know that heaven's your home when this life is over. That's what the cross is about. And there would not be a cross if there first wasn't a birth at Christmas in Bethlehem. It started everything in motion for you and for me. Romans teaches us in Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This Christmas, you can give yourself the greatest Christmas gift ever. It's absolutely free. It's grace. You can't earn it. You don't work for it. Your life can change forever. You can become a follower of Jesus if you just say yes. If you're willing to admit the fact that we've all sinned, and you're willing to believe that Jesus died and rose again for you, and you're willing to commit your life to him, to just say yes to him. By faith, whoever comes to Jesus by faith and calls upon his name, the Bible says, shall be saved. So really, I guess if I go back to the beginning, we all need a Christmas collision. Now, I'm not talking in our cars. That happened a few years ago, candlelight Christmas Eve service. Our family had in my son's car right outside of our parking lot. It was a kind of a slick road day. My son's car got totaled. We were all okay. We had a Christmas Eve collision leaving the church parking lot. That's not going to happen to you. Don't worry about it. Okay, it's all going to be good. But we need a Christmas collision, really. Not in our car, but in our hearts. Are you willing to let Christmas collide with you this year? See, it's so easy to make it about these sweet songs, about this sweet little baby and the sweet food that we eat. It seems weird to say that we need Christmas to collide with our lives, but we do. See, a Christmas collision is let Christmas confront you and let Christmas comfort you. I know that word confront's really strong, but some of you, Christmas may really disturb you. And that's a good thing. If we think about our failure and how we blow it and our sin, and we think about God's compassion and love for Jesus to go from a manger to a cross to an empty tomb, and that if we come to him, we can have eternal life, and he's the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, in John 14:6. Christmas confronts us. It really does. But it's a beautiful confrontation. Christmas can disturb us. That's how much God loves you and loves me. And also let Christmas comfort you. If you're here today and you say, I know Christ as my personal Savior, he changed my life, I've placed my faith in him. Man, let this be a time of comfort. In the midst of maybe the financial struggles, maybe the pressure of schedule, maybe some family issues that are tough, and maybe you're grieving in your heart over a lost loved one, a loved one that's not here this year. Let Christmas comfort you. Christmas is a celebration that recognizes the fact that God sees us, God cares for us, and God acted on our behalf. It's proof of his compassion. Let Christmas comfort you. Did you see in the news, like 2 days ago, that 5-year-old boy in Mississippi called 911? He watched a video of how the Grinch stole Christmas, and he called 911 and told the police that this Grinch guy was going to steal Christmas. The police was great about it. They came out to his home. They actually took him to the police department, and they had a guy dressed up in a Grinch outfit in handcuffs. Police are awesome. We respect and love our first responders in a great way. Well, I'm here to tell you, and I'm here to tell that little boy, nothing can steal Christmas. Nothing. Because it's about the God of the universe who became a human baby in a manger to go to a cross for you and for me. And that is the most beautiful, majestic, loving collision that a life can have, because it changes everything. Merry Christmas. Would you pray with me? Lord, I want to thank you for the fact that you came, that you acted because you cared and you saw. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you, Emmanuel, God with us, you in the flesh. Thank you, Lord, that in our sins you save, you rescue. So, Lord, in this room right now, maybe there's one. What an incredible Christmas Eve this would be for them right now to just simply say in faith, Jesus, yes. Jesus, I come to you to receive the free gift of eternal life, trusting in you, turning from my sin. Is that you? Just come to him, call upon his name, let him change your life, become a follower of Jesus Christ, and I promise you, your life will never, ever be the same. Lord, for those in this room who already know you as Savior, God, we know that Christmas comes with so many things in our culture, and Lord, I know there are some, this is such a difficult, difficult season for them. Lord, thank you for your comfort. Thank you, Lord, for just the comfort we have in celebrating you, that salvation in you is secure. It's settled forever that we belong to you. All this is temporary. Heaven is our home. Thank you that Christmas gives us such comfort and peace. God, what grace that on that silent night, in the midst of this dark, cold, fallen, broken world, you, Jesus, the light of the world, was born. We pause. We take a breath. We say thank you. We worship you. We celebrate you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.